Welcome back to the Breakside Podcast, here for episode 42. This is your ultimate destination for in-depth collegiate and professional Frisbee discussions and interviews. I'm your host, David Adamitis. This episode's guest is the founder of Ulti Breakdown, a social media channel creating film analysis for Ultimate Frisbee. In addition, he currently coaches for the club team Tenacity. Introducing Tim Barzak. Tim, thanks for being here. How you doing?
Hey, thanks, David. Doing great. Thank you for having me on. Really appreciate the opportunity to just come on and chat and, you know, talk about Ultimate.
There's really nothing better than chatting about Ultimate. And I've been a fan of your, you know, channel. I've been watching a lot of your breakdowns on Instagram, and I love it. I think film is one of the best things you could do as an Ultimate Frisbee player. And so many people that, you know, have come on this podcast or just that are really talented at this sport, they always say that, like, one of the best things you can do is study film. So I think this is going to be a really fun conversation, just diving into all the different ways we can learn from it. But right off the bat, I'm curious, how did you kind of come about creating Ulti Breakdowns? What was the thought process behind, I'm going to go do this?
Yeah, that's a, I honestly, like, I stumbled into it, really. We were having discussions as a coaching staff with Tenacity, with the head coach and a few of the other guys. And, you know, we had this problem, not really necessarily a problem. We were, you know, one of the things we were talking about is we got guys from different cities. You know, we pull from Knoxville, we pull from Nashville, we pull from Chattanooga, a few guys from North Georgia, North Alabama. So you're not centralized in a city. And, you know, we're like, oh, how do we get guys to, you know what we want them to know without having as many reps as, like, Truck Stop can have, who most of the guys are in DC, or, you know, or like these teams are in big cities that can get guys on the field every week playing together and having those things. So I had a little bit of experience with, like, OBS and knowing how that works. And, you know, looking at it, I was like, you know what, like, the guys on ESPN do this stuff all the time. I wonder if I can kind of do something similar. So I just kind of tried it out, and I didn't think anything was going to come out of it. But I had in 2016, I was doing Ulti Breakdowns, we called it, with two guys, Tony Kane, who played for Bluegrass Revolution back in the day, Nashville Night Watch, and James Gaynor, who is a good friend of ours, who played just, you know, regional Ultimate with us, and we call it Ulti Breakdowns. We would watch games on Twitch and talk about them. So we had this thing already, Ulti Breakdowns, that we had done. I was like, you know what, I'll just, like, make an Instagram for it and put it out there, because I didn't want my face or name attached to it, because I was like, made me a little like socially anxious about it. And I was just like, you know, let me see, I'll put it out there and I'll see if people just are interested in it, or see if, like, people are attracted to it. And, like, immediately I just, like, people started, like, liking and following the page. And I was like, well, shit, like, I guess this is something that meets a need, or meets a niche that people are, like, desiring and want to do. And I just kind of was like, well, let me see, like, what else I can do with this. I had, like, a guy, like, the first week was like, do you have a YouTube channel? And I was like, well, shoot, I guess I'll do a YouTube channel. And learn how to do YouTube, and actually, like, enjoy that side of it more. It takes, like, a little bit more time, so I don't have as much of up there, but, like, I want to, like, invest in that side of it. So I just kind of just, like, stumbled onto it, and it was something that has kind of, like, snowballed from there. And I've actually, like, I'm trying to, like, figure out, like, well, shoot, like, what's my strategy, how do I want to do, like, a little bit more and, like, be a little bit more purposeful. But, like, it was really just, I had a problem, I thought of a way to solve it, and just kind of ran with it. Yeah.
Well, if the guys on ESPN are doing it, it really can't be that hard, right?
Yeah.
But I think that's a problem, like, so many teams face. And something we actually talked about in the prior episode with Sam Murphy from Ireland, and he's talking about this idea where his team in Dublin there is all those guys live locally, and they get so many reps together. And even he came over to the United States and played for Austin Double Wide, and he said it was a completely different experience. And I think that's a challenge a lot of teams here in the U.S. face, is we're so spread out. Like, I've interviewed people that live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and play for, you know, Detroit Mechanics. I'm like, that's such a far drive. But, you know, you're creating a solution for the problem. And obviously, you know, your team's coming first here, but this is something I think that can benefit a lot of different players out there and all different levels. And something about the different levels I find interesting here is on your Instagram page, I guess you call it your mission statement, if you want to say, you have this up there where it's increasing access to analysis for beginners and intermediate players, which I think is a really awesome target audience, if you will. You want to tell me a little bit more about kind of your thought behind that?
Yeah, I mean, the first thought is like, I don't want to like assume that I have the knowledge for like advanced players, like in that sense. Like, you know, I work with Tanasi, and I think like, you know, that's coaching is, I think, in like the deepest sense, like relational in a way. So like, you know, I feel very good about like that relational aspect of coaching, and you know, I feel like I have, you know, good ultimate knowledge about it, but I don't want to like assume that like, you know, I'm not going out there and I'm not talking to like Jack Williams, right? Like Jack Williams has got his stuff figured out. But you know, I think there's a lot of things that that beginners and intermediate players not necessarily struggle to figure out per se, but like if it was there for them and they had someone to say like, hey, this is the thing. This, if you're watching The Empire, if you're watching Pony, if you're watching Ring, if you're watching Revolver, like look at this specific thing and then that's what you need to check out. I think a lot of people would benefit from that in those realms. And I don't think there's a lot of material out there that's directed at beginner players specifically. Intermediate players, I think you have a little bit more. And those are the players who are starting to try to like go to these elite club tryouts. They may be like veterans on their college team, like captains even and stuff. But I think like one of my like passions and one of the things like I really want to see in Ultimate is like the player base grow. And the way you get player base to grow is you make it fun for beginners. You make materials for beginners. And I think that's kind of like why I was like, you know what, let me focus in on those. There's a lot of guys out there that have the stuff for like expert players and advanced players and intermediate players especially. But for beginner players, you know, I think that's like with my YouTube channel, that's what I want to do is like, I have like, you know, what is a huck up there? And, you know, intermediate players, everyone knows what a huck is, but like, that's some of the language that might be like kept out from beginner players that they have to like kind of decode over time. But putting it out there for them to know, I think is really important and it's going to help grow the sport a lot. Well, at least I hope.
I think looking at my own story with the sport here, I didn't really get into Ultimate until college, right? And that's kind of where I learned 101 of what is a huck exactly. And you go through that process. And, you know, as I progressed through, you know, I grew my skill, my talent and on-field experience, the idea of film didn't really even come up until my senior year of college. And I'm just thinking is like how much I would have grown even more or the team would have gotten better if there was access to studying film or there's someone to guide you through that. So it's a, like you hit the nail on the head, it's such a tool for beginners and it's a resource I think is desperately needed out there. So it's amazing you're kind of filling this void that's out there. And when it comes to, you know, watching film, I think it could probably be a little daunting for someone that doesn't understand it. That's the idea. You're breaking it down. You show this is what's going on there. For someone that may not have a whole lot of experience watching film, what are some key kind of things that you would recommend players to look for, to watch for on the field?
Yeah, I think like the big thing is like don't watch the disc. Like I think that's like I think a lot of players will tell you that like if you're watching the disc, like you're missing a lot of the game because, you know, whoever has the disc, they're not moving. Everyone else is moving. So like first of all, like watch upfield, you know, maybe like watch the handler space if you really want to like see what resets are doing and learn what folks are doing there. But then also just, you know, pick a player. Like if you want, like pick a player every point. Or even like watch a point 14 different times and pick a different player every time and see what they're doing. And then you'll pick up like those little things. You'll pick up like, oh, I don't know, like Jack Williams makes this cut in this way. Or, you know, like, you know, Babbitt makes this move. You know, I also like watch an old film. So I was watching like an old Revolver game the other day and it was like Bart Watson does this thing. He's an old Revolver guy. And you know, picking those things up and like being really intentional about like what you're looking at and like what you're watching, not just like looking for like, oh, well, like what's the highlight? Like how can I get like how can I like get like a sensational like aspect of watching it out of it? It's like, no, what's the small, minute thing that you can get out of it? And then just like rewatching it over and over and over again, like what I do is like if I see something good that happens on the field, because I that's like another thing that I like try to do is I try to focus in how and like when I'm talking about film on positive outcomes, just because like I think there's a lot of people who like focus in on, oh, what can you do better? But like what I want to do, especially for beginners, right, is like, okay, what are people doing that makes them successful, right? Like, and I think that's a really good place for beginners to start. And I'll see that like, okay, this successful thing happened. All right, let me watch it 10, 20 more times so I can like pick out the small little bits in that made it successful. And I think like rewatching over and over and over again, I think is tedious, but is where people are going to pick up a lot of like the nuances about the game.
I think it probably has to do with this idea of like changing your mindset from you're going to watching a game for entertainment value and changing it to I'm going to go watch it for educational value. And I think when you kind of flip the switch on that, then I think people will slow down, break it down a little bit. It's like, what is the purpose behind this action I'm doing? Right. So I think it's probably a little bit of a mindset shift that you'd have to go through to be really worthwhile watching film there. And at this point we've talked, it's very clear you've watched a lot of film. You study it like crazy. Like you said, you go back and rewatch over and over again. Have there been ways that you've noticed in your own personal frisbee, progression with the sport that you think I've grown because of watching film? Like, are there little pieces you can pick out there?
I think like early on when I was watching film, I was much more attuned to like, okay, what can I do in my game to make it better? Like when I was like in college, like what is it, friggin' 8 years ago now. I like start watching film of myself too. I was like, what like if I got beat deep, or if I like didn't get open on a cut that I thought I got open on, I would like be like, man, like what am I like what was the defender doing, right? And how can I adjust my game based on what that defender's doing to be like more successful in that spot? And then I think too, more and more, as I like developed like more of a like robust and like holistic view of the game and like the different strategies. So like we're thinking like hex and split stack, side stack, ho, vert, like all these different ways of playing and now different approaches. And also looking at like international games where teams are, hex comes from Felix and Britain and Hive and kind of like a soccer background. But then you have other teams in other countries running more traditional style ultimate offenses, but having different like approaches to it, like just weaving small things into my game that maybe the Colombian team is doing, or maybe like Mooncatchers does this like they have like their own unique style of playing, and like weaving those in like specific places where it might be advantageous. Like as a player, that's good, but as a coach, or as someone who's like aspires to help new players, I think that's like where I've been in the mindset for the past few years, more so. And that is like more around like, oh, how can I now like transform a concept that I'm seeing on film and make it like accessible for players? Like make it be like, okay, like not just like see that guy made an upline cut. Like do that and you'll be good, but more of like notice how he's like positioning himself, like where his timing is, like thinking through those small things that I think like coaches should be like attuned to and helping guys like figure out in their game. So there's kind of like a dual side of it as well.
I can only imagine like the when you're able to convey this idea of you can grow so much from watching film. I can imagine from a coaching standpoint that you're in, that it just elevates your team. And I was kind of doing some research on the team. You've had some players from that team go and play in the UFA. I believe one of them, the Alley Cats, another got signed for the Shred this year. So some guys have come out of that group. So I definitely think we need to give a little bit of props to you for that. We'll give you a little bit there.
I think this is so I've known those guys for a long time and played with them. This is my first year, like official year on the Tanasi coaching staff. So all the glory goes to those guys and the guys who've been there before. But you know, I've known them, so maybe I had a little bit of influence on them.
We'll give you a little impact on that one.
Yeah.
But I would love to hear a little bit more from this coaching standpoint of just you conveying these ideas to this group of guys out there. Have you seen growth in the team? Has it been difficult in trying to convey these ideas from film into actual practicality on the field? What is that dynamic like?
Well, we haven't done a whole lot yet this year. We've really kind of like talked as like a leadership group about some of that stuff. And, you know, from that standpoint, it's really been helpful to kind of go into like conversations we're having about offense and be like, oh, you know what, like, you know, I was watching this truck stop game the other day, and like, here's the thing that they're doing really well that maybe we can think about like adjusting and taking into our offensive strategy. Or, you know, here's a thing that you know, a big competitor of ours regionally who is RDU, who went to nationals last year. You know, and like, you know, they're kind of like we're competing for that bid, so to speak, and. You know, what is RDU doing successfully against us that we can take in and weave into our own way of approaching? So we haven't quite gotten to the point of talking holistically with the team, but I think as like a coaching staff and as a leadership group, having that background and having something that like is concrete, right? Like that's another thing that I really like about film is like it's not like you're going in there and you're being theoretical and you're being philosophical about, you know, you need to attack and be aggressive, and that you have a concrete outcome for everything that you're talking about. You can say, okay, let's point to this and say, you know, this is what they did and this is how it went down, and everyone now can see kind of like the same thing and have a common like artifact, so to speak, to like come back to and talk about. Yeah.
So at this point, we've mentioned a few times that this whole process of doing these ulti breakdowns, well, you've been doing it for a while, but this whole process of posting them and being public, it's relatively new and, you know, still trying to figure out where you're going with it. But do you have kind of a goal in mind? Is there something that I would like to be doing X in this area?
Yeah, I think for me, there's like two big things. The first one is Youth Ultimate. Like I want to like I I'm in education, right? Like I'm in Austin right now for South by Southwest EDU, and so like I have like a passion for like helping kids and like helping them like learn and play the sport. So like one is like reaching like maybe I'm reaching kids and maybe they're like viewing this and like learning how to play Ultimate from that. But I think more likely perhaps is I'm reaching people who are working with kids and people who are working with Youth Ultimate, and you know their ability to say, oh, like go look at these things that maybe like the channel's doing and learn from that. So I think like for me, Youth Ultimate and growing Ultimate at that level is really big. So like another reason, like again, while I'm like focusing on beginners more so, and then. Man, like aspirationally, I'd love to like do commentary and like be like on an Ulti World stream and like talking you know, being like, oh, like, you know, let's break down like the ESPN thing, right? You know, like I think we're at this point where Ultimate has an opportunity to like become big, like where it's like huge goal, like it's a global sport, right? You have teams all across Europe, Asia, Australia, Africa, like it is a huge sport. It is growing South America, you know, and there's an opportunity for Ultimate to be this big thing, more so than it is. I think there's going to be like there's got to be investment of time. There's got to be an investment of money. I don't have money, so I'm trying to invest my time. And like just being and like being having the opportunity to be part of that growth in different ways.
It's such an exciting time. I think you and I are in similar places. We're relatively new getting to this Ultimate Frisbee scene where we are putting a voice out there. And I'm sure both of us have seen just the response, the positivity in the community and the culture and the opportunity for it. It's really exciting. You mentioned Ultimate in an international scene. I've chatted with a few people from Ireland, from the UK. It's so exciting to see those their stories. I was chatting with this guy who's telling me about a story of players in Ghana who receive free donations of frisbee discs. I'm like, this is it's amazing that this thing is just continues to grow. So yeah, like you said, there's plenty of opportunity. It's time and money and effort and talent and we'll have to see luck of the draw sometimes here, but it is very exciting. Kind of sticking on this idea of growth. You played for the Nashville Nightwatch, several years ago. That team doesn't exist anymore. For anyone out there that has no idea what I just said, they closed their doors. I think it was 2018. So it's been a few years. The AUDL, now UFA, right? It's changed so much since the time you spent with the Nightwatch, since they've closed their doors. Looking at the UFA scene, what do you just think of this growth that's taken place in the time that you played with the Nightwatch?
I mean, so first of all, playing with the Nightwatch is a generous term. I played like maybe like 3 points like throughout the whole time I was there. Like practice player, play was able to get rostered a few times and like lucky enough to get that. And honestly, I think like the biggest growth is just like the skill level across the league. So I was listening actually today to the episode that you had with oh my gosh, I can't remember the name. Guy at Cincinnati plays for the Mechanics, and
Brian
talking about
Walsh, yes.
Brian Washington talking about like how the poor Mechanics can't win a game,
It's
but
so
that's
sad.
yeah, but it's not for lack of skill, right? Like they're good players. Like I know a few guys that from Dayton when I was up there that are playing with them. Good players like players that have skill, have ability. And that, in those first few years of the AUDL, now the UFA, I don't think the level of skill was there. I mean, I like to consider myself a good player, but I'm not competing with the top players. I was never athletic enough to do it. I never had like the speed and the strength to get there. But I think now that the base level to be an AUDL UFA player has just grown so much. And then you have I think one of the big things big changes, well not maybe like changes, but one of the big like booms that the league saw was when Dallas Roughnecks when they were able to kind of like they had this influx of money, right? And they were able to bring in Kittredge and bring in a few, I mean, a bunch of like really strong players. Freechild, I think, was on that team that year. Like Jay Froude, like people from across the country. You saw you that was like the first kind of like taste of, well, this is like actually a professional league. Like this is you're we're bringing now we're now attracting players with money. And I'm not a money driven guy. Like I don't fancy myself a capitalist, but money is important for the growth of anything in the world that we live in. And that was, I think now you see like New York like has like full-time players, right? Like I don't know for sure, but like I can imagine, Yacht doesn't have to do a whole lot of outside work out of playing Ultimate. Babbitt doesn't have to do a whole lot of work outside playing Ultimate. And I think like that is something that I think you're seeing more and more throughout the league. Was one of the problems that Nashville Nightwatch had was you didn't have this like influx of money, influx of investors. But what it looks like around the league now is that you're having influxes of money, influx of investors, because people are going to the games, people are investing in the teams, ultimate players themselves, and that's what's going to bring in non-ultimate players. So I think that's big for the sport. Domestically, I'm still a little like unsure like what the perception of the UFA is like internationally, I think people still tend to favor like WFDF and USAU. But I think for the growth of the sport domestically, it's been pretty big.
It has changed so much. And you talk about empire, it's like the reason why those guys have been so dominant is there's such buy-in. And I'm sure money has so much to do with that. But it's like those early years of the UFA, AUDL, there was this fear like the league wouldn't even make it to the next year. It seems like it's past that point where it's like, okay, we're here and we're going to continue to grow. And we're steady where we are. So there has been a shift in the mindset, I think.
Well, the MOU, people forget about the MOU was a thing, and they weren't able to get the same financial backing. They kind of they were the second player in. They had this whole thing with Inova, so there was like a little kind of like a few different things going on there, but they weren't able to get the same buy-in and the same monetary investment is what it seemed like.
Yeah, the MLU, Major League Ultimate, right? And there was a time where that was actually a little bigger than the UFA. There was that battle. I don't think people always think about that or remember. Like they're just, oh, but this is amazing where we are right now. There is such a struggle to get to where we are. But there's talk, that UFA, expansion teams are growing still. I would love to hear you're very into the Tennessee Ultimate scene. Do you ever think there could be a reappearance of the Night Watch or another team down in Nashville?
I don't know if it'll be the Night Watch. I think it'd probably be a different name, but I hope so. I really do. I hope so. I think one thing that isn't like maybe overlooked is there's a ton of players in that region from Tennessee specifically. Tennessee's a big state. Like, the farthest part of Tennessee, the farthest part of East Tennessee is closer to Canada than it is to Memphis, which is the farthest west point in Tennessee. So it was a big state. There's a lot of people. And there's a lot of great players that are in the UFA right now that are from Tennessee. I mean, you think of like Paul Lally from the San Diego Growlers as a Tennessee guy from Nashville. I think he's actually moving back. You have Jeremiah Branson from Knoxville, plays for the Alley Cats. Matt Jackson, who's on the Summit, out from Arkansas. So, we'll kind of throw him into the
Their
Tennessee
neighbors,
bump.
they can get that on
Yeah,
there.
yeah. And then you have Elijah Jaime from who's on the Shred is from North Alabama, which is closer to Knoxville or closer to Nashville than it is anything else. He's from Huntsville. Brett Holzmeier, same thing. He's playing for the Hustle, but like Huntsville and Nashville, like 2 hours apart. I mean, just tons and tons of incredible. Sam Good, who's from Knoxville, played with Alley Cats. Just tons and tons of good talent. Justin Burnett is. From Memphis. Seth Ferris is from Memphis. You had man, I can go on and on. Like there's a ton of players coming out of Tennessee that are incredibly talented players that are just playing other places. So, I think there's a talent pool in Tennessee, and that could make a resurgence of a UFA team. But I mean, back to like it's gotta have the right investment. It's gotta have the right backing. So hopefully, who knows?
Yeah, it's exciting. I think I'm just right there. You made a pretty good case for let's get another team in Tennessee. Maybe get you some money and you'll be running this team down there. But yeah, I've myself thought about moving to Nashville. So if that's the case, I would love for there to be a team there. Get some action and excitement down there. But yeah, if you want to take me now back kind of to your beginning with Ultimate, I know you played some in college. Is that where you began? What was your entry into this sport?
Yeah, so I started as a junior in high school, playing like ultimate, like quote in quotes ultimate. Like we knew enough to have seven on the field, but like we had no strategy. Like it was like we were out there. There was like a big old power line in the middle of the field we were playing on, like that had to be in like the end zone every single time. But like that was like my first exposure to ultimate, and like I. For some reason, I could launch a backhand right away. Like I could throw a backhand far, and like that was like people were like, oh, you should like play ultimate with us. I was in no way, shape, or form like an athletic child. I was a golfer, which takes a lot of hand-eye coordination, but was not like a runner. But then I got to college, and went to UTC, and went to like my first few practices and got like a real taste of ultimate. I was like, man, this is fun. Like this is incredible. And just kind of like ran from there. Like I like it was a big part of like myself like getting in like shape and being a healthy person is because I wanted to play Ultimate. I didn't want to like sit on the sideline during games. I just loved playing. And so played at UTC for 4 years, was able to captain for two of those years, my junior senior year. And you know, we in the first few years, you know, we had again like a lot of great players coming out of Tennessee, like Player Pierce, who played Atlanta Hustle and Chain Lightning and Raleigh Flyers for a year. He was on the team my freshman sophomore year. Incredible player and athlete. And just like soaking in the knowledge of the game that he had and like the passion that he took to the game, like made me passionate for the game as well and made me want to work for it. And that was, you know, in the beginning, like that was like probably the best players. But there's like only 10 of us, right? Like, so, you know, that's take nothing away from like the talent that future teams had, but we didn't make regionals until my senior year. And, you know, we were a good team. Like we obviously made regionals, but like the talent that had came before laid the groundwork for a larger team. Like just, we had more people there. We had the ability to run more people on the field to get there. And, you know, that was, I take a lot of pride in that, making it that first year as a captain. And then now every year since, the team has gone to regional. So it's like, I think we're like an 8-9 year run. Never quite making it to nationals. So I did that. And then I played Nashville Nightwatch for a few years. Again, played in quotations a little bit. And, you know, really enjoyed that experience. You know, I didn't get to play a lot, so I have, you know, so a little bit of a chip on my shoulder about that. But, you know, that was, you know, there were some great players on the team that definitely deserved the playing time they were getting. And then played with Huntsville Freaks for 2-3 years. I can never remember. 2 or 3 years. And we had, you know, that was when we had some close games with Chain. We had some close games with Ring. And I actually went back and watched a Ring game that we had in regionals like a little bit ago. And like I was like, wow, this is like the best game of Ultimate I've ever played. So I was like, so that's probably my peak of my playing career. Didn't quite, you know, always had like game. We had a few games to go, but never could kind of like break through. And then just like injuries, you know, not taking care of my body properly, kind of caught up with me. And I got a family now, so you know, there's another aspect that I had my own like professional aspirations with work, so kind of like took a step back for a few years, moved to Ohio to go to grad school at Ohio State and lived in Dayton because we had some friends there, and my wife was also going to grad school at Miami University, so Dayton's like an hour away from both of those places. And played with a team, Thunderpants the Magic Dragon, and kind of like a mixed team, fun group of guys and fun group of folks, sorry. Yeah, had some fun there. But if, like now, like I've always been a person who like my edge in Ultimate was my hubris. Like I didn't see someone out there and say, oh man, they're way better than me. Like there's no way I could do that. I saw someone out there and like coming like from like, again, like I was not an athletic person coming to college and saying, well, if they can do it, I can do it. It's all a matter of hard work and time and effort. And you know, my, like, that's why I've kind of like, I can't bring myself in some senses to like not play or be in high level Ultimate, because that's like, that's where my heart and my mind wants to go. So that's kind of like, I've taken a step back from playing and gone towards more of the coaching side. But that's also kind of opened up an opportunity for me to invest more of my time in like leagues. So I think like a lot of times club players may overlook the value of leagues in the broader scale of Ultimate, because that's where you're getting new players in. That's where you're getting people who are like going to fall in love with the sport, going to be the people who are going to the games, the UFA games, going to be the people who are going to be invested in their local community a little bit more. And it's given me that opportunity to kind of look at league and say, well, this is where I want to invest my time in as a player, and go on the field and help people be better on the field while also devoting time to like being a coach and not being a competing in high level Ultimate, and devoting that other time there too.
I mean, just listen to you there. I think it's safe to say you have such a passion, such a love for this sport. It's pretty clear. And, you know, you bounced around so many different teams and you've continuously put yourself forth. Like, I want to be involved, even when that role does change from being a player, whether it's in college and club or, you know, clubs in different states even. And now into your coaching role here, you continuously want to see improvement with yourself or different players. So in kind of that mindset, I would love, if you want to share a piece of advice on keeping a mindset of continuous improvement in Ultimate, what would you share?
Yeah, I think like exactly what I was saying, like be hubristic about it. Like, I think there's some people will, sometimes people will look at like we'll think like Ben Yat, for example, like, you know, a great player and be like, man, I could never do what Ben Yat does. But that's like, Ben Yat is just a human, just like the rest of us. You know, so like if you're looking at these players, these incredible players, and being like, man, like I wish I could do that. Like your mind, like the mindset that you're taking into that is like a deficit approach. Like you're saying, oh, I could never do that. But if you look at them and be like, man, I could do that. Like I want to go do that. You'll find a way to go do it. You'll find like the yes and to go into it. And believing in yourself that you have the ability, because again, we're all just humans. It's six, you know, there's a part of success that is, you know, genetic. Some people can jump higher and run faster, but there's more of success comes from like the hours that you're putting in and the sweat and the hard work that you're doing in the time. Like, it's a function of hard work and time more than it is a function of your natural abilities. So, you know, just believe that you can do it. And that belief will carry you to be able to do it. That's kind of like the approach that I like to take for myself. And it hasn't steered me too far wrong. So
I love that. The idea of positivity. I really like that. And just, I think too, a part of that is like sharing your goals, right? If I want to be this type of player, I forget the exact, like how it all worked out, but there's a study where people, they said, if you wrote your goals down and vocalize them, you're like 70% more likely to achieve them. So then it kind of falls in line with what you're saying. It's like, you got to believe in yourself, you know, proclaim, it's like, I will do this. You know, it's like, yeah, maybe I'm not good enough. No, like, be definitive. Like, this is where I want to go. So I love that. I think that's really powerful there. And Tim, this kind of brings us to the close of this interview though. I want to open it up. Is there anything else you'd like to share?
You know, I think the one thing, and you know, I was talking to Justin last night, and the one thing that we were talking about there was, I want more than anything for people who love and play Ultimate, like club players, like this is who I'm talking to right now, invest back into that community. That community at one point in time was investing in you. So invest back into it yourself. I mean, I would love to see like every single club team have like some type of like outreach branch to say, you know, like we're going to outreach to youth. Ultimate is like a great sport for social and emotional learning. We have spirit of the game. We have self arbitration on the field. It's a great sport for kids to learn and be around. And you know, if we as players and we as people who love Ultimate want to see Ultimate grow, we're going to be the people that have to invest our time and energy into it. It's not going to be someone else who doesn't know what, like, No one who doesn't love Ultimate is going to invest time and energy into growing the sport of Ultimate. It has to be us. So like, I think I would love to see like more, and I think there has been, like, I don't want to like be like, no one's doing this, because people are doing it. But I would love to see like more and more people like reinvesting into the community and doing outreach to get more players and reach kids.
Wow. I think that something like that would have the potential to be very powerful. And like you said, it can have such a positive impact on youth and just the development. And that's what athletics is all about, is growing the person, yeah, physically, but also holistically. It's like, it's building you up into a better person. So 100% of support that idea. I think that's incredible. And Tim, just thank you so much for everything you shared. It's been really enjoyable to hear your story and just to learn so much more about film and what it can do for a player and for a team. So just thank you so much for everything here today.
Yeah, thanks, David. I really appreciate it. This was fun.
Absolutely. And make sure you check out Tim's work on Ulti_breakdown on Instagram. He's on YouTube as well, posting incredible content there. And as always, make sure you check out the Breakside Instagram at Breakside_podcast. And this brings us to the end of episode 42. This is David Adamitis with Tim Barzak. Thanks for listening. Have a great night.